Hello, Rosie.
Oh, hi.
Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Nothing was particularly interesting. Being born, living through the 60s in Lancashire, and nearly seeing the Rolling Stones at Wigan Odeon, and not hearing them for the screaming, and not going to the Cavern when the Beatles were playing, but finally came to London. And lived with an artist, and ending up in an old factory on London Fields. And in those days, it was
what was the old factory? What was that part?
It used to be a trouser. It was empty. It was an empty factory. In those days, London was derelict. This would be 70s, and London being derelict in so many places, nobody valued the Victorian houses in those days. But lots of them were left derelict. So we lived in the old trouser factory because we...
Who's we?
Me and my partner.
Okay.
Making inflatable monsters and costumes and flying saucers and dragons.
What did you make them for?
It was sponsored for art galleries.
Okay.
For instance, we got inspired by the... environmental problems when the Sunday Times colour supplements were quite radical and new, and so oil slicks. So we actually made, inspired from an oil flake, a giant black inflatable with all lumps and dead ducks and everything, because we could make the inflatables not with plastic, we made them with calico and latex. So we spread latex, gallons of copy decks by hand onto calico, machined them up on an old sewing machine, glued them all up and inflated them. So we had a inflatable thing which actually looked like a boulder and blocked up the bridge in London Fields. And then
You put it there?
We put things that... All right, the history of Landload, which was the big black environmentally inspired inflatable, it was 12 foot high or so. And we would roll it around, we would inflate it and put it into parks as it was community arts, really, but nothing had a label in those days. It was just a happening, and Arts Council sponsored things for the community. We would roll it around in a park, taking everybody completely by surprise. They would hurl themselves into it because it was bouncing and inflatable. And then I was looking at a picture of the other day about human behaviour. And so what they would do is they'd lie down flat on the floor on the grass and have great fun at having this inflatable giant potato black thing roll over them. Great fun. And we continued making the inflatables and made a couple of inflatable giants who went... But we ended up having a entertainment show with inflatable giants. We went all over the country and did the Hackney Show. The Hackney Show was brilliant in those days. The Cumberland Giants had a wrestling match with a clown referee. It caught on because it went on Blue Peter, and Michael Aspel saw it and promoted it. So people started ringing us up and saying, can we have these giants? So it became an entertainment business, really. But we were able to do all these things, as with other artists, because Bridget Riley and Peter Townsend and Peter Sedgley were big-name artists in the 60s. They saw all this empty property and thought, artists need space. So they started an organisation called Space. And to start with, we legally, and on a very cheap rent, captured St. Catherine's Docks. So the artists were in St. Catherine's Docks before it was all done up, making inflatables. There was transparent inflatables walking on water. There was Wendy Taylor doing giant sculptures. So it was a very creative... Although London was desolate in so many ways, it was very creative for a lot of people, squatters included, and because nobody wanted it, so we'll have it, and nobody stopped us doing anything in so many ways. All right, so we'd have a street party. Different things came up, street parties, community things, you know.
Did you have a great time?
Yeah.
It sounds like it.
Yeah, different organisations were doing different things, and then in the end, in fact, Space still exists. But then another association came up for houses for artists. So ACME was a housing association for artists, and you took the house as it was. So we ended up getting a house, very little rent, outside bathroom. We used to go to the Hackney. We got to know all the local baths then, public baths that were still open, which ones had the best needlepoint shower. And so we were still doing old-style East End living, whereas the old-style East Enders all wanted to move out.
And go into the flats.
Oh, a flat with central heating, yes. Paradise.
Yeah.
You know, so... that was a very exciting era of London, really, and it was not hip. Nobody wanted to live in Hackney. The other day, Hackney, 4 years ago even, Hackney was the worst known on a TV programme to be the worst, one of the worst places in the country to live. And now everybody desperately...
Everybody with money wants to live here, don't they?
And I'm just lucky that I bought the house for... silly money, and now everybody is it's become so hip.
Yeah,
so the whole hip. My daughter is now sort of analysing, are we hipsters, are we not? She's born and bred here, she knows what it was like. Makes them, and my son as well, makes them very streetwise.
Yeah,
and they take a cool look at hipsters and then write a poem about it. Or
Well, Rosie, thank you so much. That was really interesting. And I hope to talk to you again.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.